Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5? First Peter chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You don't need to raise your hand this morning, but how many of you brought at least one care with you as you came in this morning? Something that, you know, is going on in life, and it's just like it's, you know, it feels like a weight. And you feel like you're carrying this burden. We're looking at a church that can relate. This is the church that Peter wrote to. It's a church of pilgrims, of refugees, people who had been displaced from their homes because of their faith. They were fleeing persecution. These people had escaped persecution really essentially by running away. And I was trying to think of, is there anything that, we have experienced over our lives? I think you'd have to go back to the Great Depression, and I don't think anyone went through that is here. You didn't go through that time. We were talking about that last week, and I was telling Chuck, Pastor Chuck, how, you know, my grandfather used to wash his paper plates and reuse them. And it wasn't like he was poor, but he washed his paper plates and he reused them. And one of the things that Chuck said, well, he must have gone through the Depression. And those of you, you've had grandparents and you know they've gone through that time. And it's like they hang on to everything. You know, everything is so important. This church, I would not call it the Great Depression. I think it was more like the Great Dispersion. This was a church that had been scattered, but there was somewhat a sense of depression within the context of this passage. I think along with dispersion and loneliness, feeling isolated, there is sometimes a sense of depression. Now, here in America, we are facing, I don't know if you realize this, we are facing an epidemic of depression and loneliness. People are lonely today more than at any other time. And, you know, that is surprising to me because, you know, supposedly we're more connected, right? Through social media and through the internet. And yet, why is it that people are more lonely today than they have been in generations past? Well, this is a church who had gone through the dispersion. They were feeling a sense of loneliness. They had been isolated. They had been chased out of their businesses. They had been chased from their homes. And they were struggling. And Peter recognized the tremendous strain of their circumstances. I think that circumstances have a way of becoming basically just a burden that we carry around. How many of you have carried some circumstance and it's been a burden to you in your life? Sometimes it's a health crisis. Others, it's a financial crisis. It might be a relationship. It could be a move. There are many reasons why we go through these seasons where we struggle with our circumstances. So Peter, this morning, he gives to the church this very practical means of relief, and it's a very simple approach, and we're just going to, first of all, number one, we're going to identify. We need to identify what our concerns are. Peter writes, he says, cast all your cares. Now, what are our cares? Peter's not asking for us to ignore our worries. He's not suggesting that we live in denial or that we be irresponsible. In fact, the opposite is true. We do need to acknowledge that we have cares. We struggle with worries. And if we're going to follow through on what Peter is telling us to do, we need to identify what it is that is actually bothering us. At times, I've just simply made a list. You know, you just write it out. Lord, here's what my concerns are. Here are my cares. And it's like just giving it over to God and saying, God, you know, here they are. Here's what's concerning me now. listed out. The Psalms are filled with illustration about how to offload our cares onto the Lord. David is the best example that we have of a man who took every care to the Lord. Let's look together at just one instance of David casting his care upon God. Psalm 3, beginning at verse 1. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Look at how David is very specific about his worries here. They have increased who trouble me. David was worried about the insurrection that was being led by his son Absalom, who is trying to take over the kingdom. Can you imagine with me if one of your children had conspired with others to take over? What a frightful time in the life of David, a time of great concern. Many are they who rise up against me. Verse 2, the next trouble he states involves those who mocked him because he depended upon God. Many are they who say there is no help from him in God. In verse 3, David talks to God and he makes a declaration of the hope that he has in the Lord. But you, O Lord, you are a shield about me. In verse 4, David tells the rest of us how he cried out to the Lord, not silently, but out loud. It was a cry unto God, and it says that he heard me. Now, this is a beautiful picture of how we can openly acknowledge before God, and I believe that we should. We just take our cares unto the Lord and say, God, you know what it is that I'm going through right now. You understand my cares, and you understand what's weighing upon my heart. Someone might ask the question, and I think it's a legitimate question, is, well, if God knows everything about us, if God can read our thoughts, if he reads our mind, why is it that we need to talk to God? God already knows. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he spelled it out like this. He said, you know, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known unto the Lord. In other words, we are actually told to bring these requests unto God in prayer. And he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Have you found that to be true? When you take it to God in prayer, you know how he just lifts the burden. Paul tells us that we are to openly talk to God about our worries. I do it all the time. Sometimes I think, man, God must be tired of hearing about this. But you know what? God never gets tired of hearing from us. He wants to hear from us. Our cares can and should be very specific when we bring them before the Lord. I mean, if you think about it, think about your relationships that you have with others. How specific we are when we converse with one another about what's going on in our lives. We're usually not very general. We get very detailed. We talk about it. God invites us to talk to him in prayer. Your list may be very short, or maybe a long list. It could be a job or a lack of job. I know some that struggle with health, and children, marriage. Or maybe you're someone who worries about many things. I don't know. There are some that are just chronic worriers. Number two is that we are to cast. That's an interesting word, to cast, because your translation may say give. The word is actually much stronger than just giving. The Greek word for cast, it implies a deliberate and a forceful action whereby you rid yourself of something you don't want. Now, if you study the word cast in its original Greek, you're going to find out it's a compound word. Really, it's two words. It's two put together. It's not just throwing, but it is a directed throw. It is an intentional throw. It is an intentional cast. We enjoy fishing. We have a lake out near where we live, and we enjoy fishing. And I found that, you know, there's the intentional cast, and there is the unintentional cast. Now, we have lures up in the trees hanging down, and you can tell that those are the unintentional casts. We missed. But there is a cast whereby it's like the lure goes and it lands exactly, and you're like, oh man, I nailed it. And you know that there's a big fish right there getting ready to come up and grab your lure. And so, you know, when Peter's writing here, he's talking about an intentional casting of the cares, that you know where you're aiming and you know where you want to put those cares. Casting all your cares. In this passage, it's casting your cares upon the Lord. Now, let me just say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking some cares and talking to other people about your cares. But other people should not be the first and last resort. Our Lord God should be the one that we come to first with our cares, and that we cast our cares upon Him. You know, God is the great problem solver. God is the one who can do something about it. In our psalm that we looked at, David, he cast his care upon the Lord, and then he declared, he said, "But you, O Lord, you are a shield about me." In other words, you are the one, you are the answer. I can not only take my cares to you, you are the one that can actually do something about it. So God not only bears the cares, He is the one who can resolve the cares, and that is why God should be the very first one that we take our cares to, and we cast our cares upon the Lord. If you look at this passage, you will notice that there is a context of humility. Now, that context is important because it really, in a sense, it does take a certain degree of humility to bring our cares before the Lord. It seems like as we grow older in our walk with the Lord, sometimes we think that, well, you know, I shouldn't be having these problems, and I should be somewhat self-sustaining now. We never are, and we never should be. It doesn't matter where we are in our walk, whether we've been walking with the Lord for 2 years or 5 years or 50 years. The command is the same, and that is that we take our cares and we cast them upon the Lord. There's some that say, well, you know, I won't do that. In fact, one of the reasons I don't want anything to do with God is because God is a crutch. Yes, He is. But He is a divine crutch. But tell me, who does not have a crutch of some sort? Almost everyone you talk to has some form of dependency, and unfortunately, many of those dependencies are unhealthy and unwise. Many people depend upon alcohol to get through and to get by. Some depend upon a drug. Some depend upon a prescription. Some need a relationship. But the Lord says, cast all your cares upon Him. Yes, I find that God can be a wonderful divine crutch. And we need, therefore, it says in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The difference is this, is that God is the God of the mighty hand. The reason that we throw our cares upon God is because He is the one with the mighty hand who can bear the cares. And that is why we must aim intentionally for God. But we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Number 3, after we list our thoughts, learn to throw, learn to cast, we listen. Listen to what God has to say about us. What does God think about you? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And what does it say next? Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. This must be one of the most wonderful and comforting, beautiful passages in the Bible. Just simply to understand that God cares for you. God loves you. and he cares about what you're going through. What does God think about me? Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Psalm 91, verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God, in Him will I trust." Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you." And if you're worried, there's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you." These are the thoughts that God has about you. He desires to be your hope. God desires to be your refuge. He wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's your everlasting strength. So what is happening when I'm listening to the thoughts that God has about me? Well, first of all, there's two things. One is that we're replacing our thoughts. Every moment that I think about what God is thinking about me is an intermission from the worrisome thoughts that have been playing in my head. How many of you have noticed that thoughts are basically like a broken record? We were talking to Sarah here just this past week about records. You know, our younger generation doesn't remember what records are. They didn't know. But we were talking about how at her grandparents' house, they still have the old record player, and you go and you put the record on. Now, one of the problems that you run into with a record player is that it might get to a certain point, and it begins to play the same thing over and over and over again. And you know, remember, you have to go bump it. Any of you ever have a record player like that? But you know, that is how thoughts are. Thoughts get stuck in our mind, and it's like the same record going around and around and around, and we must break away from those thoughts. And the way that we do that is we begin to think about God's thoughts towards us. Those thoughts of worry need to be replaced by the Word of God. What does God think about me? I think our minds are often starved for the Word of God. And we feed worry. This needs to be reversed. We need to starve worry. And the way to starve worry is to feed on God's thoughts towards us. What does God think? The second thing that happens as I listen to what God thinks about me is that I am building trust in God. I am gaining confidence in the Lord. I'm focusing on what He can and will do. And you know that one of my favorite passages, it just simply goes like this: with God, all things are what? All things are possible. The older I go along in my walk with the Lord, it's just like the more I rely upon that simplicity, that very truth, is, you know what? I don't understand this. I cannot fathom this. I don't know, you know, I can't figure it all out, but I don't have to. God, with Him, all things are possible. And I discovered that casting my care upon Him is really, it's really the only reasonable thing to do. With Paul, I will say, if God is for me, who can be against me? He who did not spare his son, his own son, but he gave him up for me, won't he also freely give me all things? God did not spare Jesus for you. How much he must care for you. And he invites you to cast all the cares and all the concerns and the worries upon him, and he'll carry those. So we go back to our list from point one. What is it that's bothering me? Well, whatever care I have, now it's time to throw it upon the Lord, because God cares for me and I can trust him. and I belong to him. Whatever it is that consumes your mind, the Lord invites us to cast those cares upon him, for he does care for us, and he wants to minister into your life and into your heart. What did you bring in today that you can cast upon the Lord? What care have you been carrying? God wants to carry it for you because he loves you. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, it is the lamp unto our feet and it's the light unto our path. And we recognize, Lord, just from this very simple and this very basic promise that we have one who has the mighty hand that can carry the burdens and the cares. And so we intentionally cast them upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we lay all these burdens down, Lord, before you, before we leave here even. We take you at your word, and we cast these things that some of us brought in with us. We just cast them onto you, Lord, because you really do care for us. And Father in heaven, we're so thankful that in a very lonely world that we are never alone. And that you're always with us, your very presence, so near to us. And now, Lord, would you minister through your word to all who have come today, Lord? I know there's some who just longed for this word to just hear, God, how much you care, how you can carry our burdens. And these are things that we bring to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you in his wonderful love. You walk in the very peace of God that surpasses all understanding as we keep our minds and our thoughts upon our Lord. Oh, make him the anchor of your life. Just keep him. Just stay right there with God, our Lord Jesus, for he loves you. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.